Available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada. Price and participation may vary for a limited time only.
And at 3 o'clock on the nose, we welcome you into a Tuesday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, and the all-new Jim OT, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids as well. Welcome aboard. Great program for you tonight. Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com is going to be stopping by at 5 o'clock this evening. We'll get his thoughts on pitchers and catchers as they begin to report in Arizona and Florida, as well as the New York Post report we touched on yesterday on the program about Major League Baseball continuing to toy with the idea of expanding the playoffs and tinkering with the sport. All that, a big night of college basketball in the Big Ten, and Buttons wants to give you another $50 gift card to Culver's Garden Center and Greenhouse in Marion. And not only does he want to give that to you, he wants to give that to you sooner rather than later. Coming up tonight, 4:30 will be your opportunity to take home that $50 gift card to Culver's Garden Center and Greenhouse. They are open year-round in Marion on Highway 151. Be a nice place to stop in and maybe do a little last-minute Valentine's Day shopping, too. Keep that in the back of your mind. So Buttons is waving that card at me on the other side of the glass. He is just raring to get that given away tonight at 4:30. We'll get to that and more. Your texts and phone calls welcome as well. The number that you will need, by the way, at 4:30 tonight, 319-366-1600. We mentioned there's a lot to get to today, but Alex, would you look at that? Nick Saban is hunting around in the backyard of his longtime friend and former coworker, Kirk Ferentz.
TJ Bowlers from Clear Creek, Amana. Fantastic prospect, by the way.
If you're a good enough football player, Alabama will find you.
And they have found TJ Bowlers, apparently as of, let's see, just over a half an hour ago, the four-star prospect has received an offer from Nick Saban in Alabama on the same day that he received an offer from Texas A&M. This is going to be interesting.
Has he said anything about a timeline yet?
I don't believe so. I have not seen anything that has indicated he is about to make his decision, but he is going into his senior year now, and I remember him all the way back as a freshman, and you just knew with the build and the athleticism he was going to be a very special prospect, and he already had offers as a ninth grader. And here we are with him in his junior season about to go into his senior year.
Very good pedigree as well. His father, Trevor, was a football player for Hayden Fry at Iowa. There are Iowa ties here. This is a local kid, backyard. You're hoping, if you're a Hawkeye fan, that that's going to win out in the long run. And yet, the allure of an opportunity to play for Nick Saban at Alabama. Now, the question is, does this carry the same weight that it maybe did 3 or 4 years ago?
Is Alabama?
Alabama still Alabama?
I think so. I think so. Now, they clearly have competition at the
Poor
top.
Poor Texas A&M. A&M's saying, okay, man, we're going to get the offer, and then Alabama just comes over the top.
To me, this is tough because I think there are other offers that he's already received that are going to carry a lot of weight. You look at Wisconsin, you wonder, I know Nebraska fans are very hopeful that they're going to have a crack at him. And now Alabama comes in and does this. But this is a guy, like you said, who is an Iowa legacy. And I don't think it's a shoo-in that he goes to Iowa. It's going to be very, very interesting because this is certainly a player that I think is going to be a very, very successful college athlete. I'm sold on him.
I'm sure fans here locally will handle it with nothing but class and aplomb if he chooses to go elsewhere. 319-366-1600 is the First Federal Credit Union text line. You can get $200 now just by opening a brand new checking account at one of First Federal's Eastern Iowa locations. Details available online at firstfedcu.com slash KGYM. We mentioned a big night of basketball in the Big Ten. Three games on tap tonight. I don't think anybody is necessarily on the edge of their seat for Nebraska at Maryland. Nebraska's lost 14 straight Big Ten road games dating back to last season. However, the other two games tonight are pretty interesting. We're going to get to those in Woodja coming up at 4:30 tonight. Penn State on the road at Purdue and Michigan State in Champaign to take on the Fighting Illini. Michigan State in a little bit of a tailspin. Our poll question tonight at KGYMradio.com is which one of those two games, again, sorry, Cornhuskers, is most intriguing tonight? Penn State at Purdue or Michigan State at Illinois? You can vote now, KGYMradio.com. And again, that poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Plenty more to get to on the program today. We mentioned Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com, set to join us coming up at 5 o'clock. We mentioned yesterday that the New York Post came out with the report shortly before we went on the air that baseball was looking at possibly expanding its postseason as soon as 2022 and incorporating a live draft aspect to it, basically a made-for-TV event at the end of the season. And the proposal has been met with mostly criticism from the baseball universe. I was listening to Pushing the Odds with Matt Perrault on 107.5 FM, the Jim OT, earlier today. And Matt is one of the few people that I heard who actually sounds like he's a fan of baseball doing this or exploring this, because he thinks baseball's killing itself by hanging on to tradition.
I think that that's an interesting argument, but I'm looking at this on a case-by-case basis, and I think that this is just too much. And I have a lot of questions as to how this is going to work, but the number one question that I have when looking at the fact that they're talking about now seven teams from each league getting in the playoffs, right?
Yes, that's the proposal, and then you have the top team getting a bye automatically.
Yes.
And then the top three remaining teams would draft or choose. Well, two of the three teams would choose their opponents because the third team would be stuck with the last team to be selected. It's like me in gym class.
The thing is, does anything need to be done to postseason baseball? Because I feel that's their meal ticket.
Thank you.
And it doesn't need to be altered. The postseason's fine. What they're worried about is the regular season, and by expanding the playoffs, it's making the regular season even more meaningless than it already is by putting a bunch of mediocre teams in the playoffs.
I agree. Baseball's problem, if there is and there are a lot of problems with baseball right now, I think it starts with marketing, it starts with leadership, and it starts with the fact that you can't watch a lot of the games for teams in your area. And yet, Rob Manfred and the folks in New York City, I'm not one to look, I think it's BS. We play this whole coastal elites card and everything. And it's a tiresome trope. And I don't want to sound like a guy here in flyover country talking about earned coastal elites. But they're sitting in an office in New York City and they have no idea what they're doing when it comes to selling their product. And a huge part of that is the fact that they're probably not even aware that there are six teams that are blacked out in the state of Iowa, which is a state that, according to my records, does not have a single major league team in it, yet six teams are considered home territory in the state of Iowa.
I thought about this. If you asked Rob Manfred to name a city other than Des Moines in Iowa, do you think he could do it?
Well, Dyersville, they know, because they're sinking $8 million into that money pit of a game.
I just feel like he has no idea, and nor does he care about anything outside of the major league cities and the bottom line. The smaller details of minor league baseball and trying to grow the game in areas that outside of big cities is completely beyond his radar. It's It's not even on his mind whatsoever.
They seem to not be able to get out of their own way because they're worried about pace of play and speeding games up, and they want to put in a rule. Well, they think changing pitchers is slowing the game down, so they want to implement this rule where a relief pitcher has to come in and face three batters. You think you're going to slow the game down when you bring in a guy from the bullpen who can't get anybody out?
Yep, home run. Another home run.
Well, we can't possibly take him out of the game because it's going to slow things down. Here's all you need to know. And if you've listened to this program for 8.5, 9 years, however long it's been since I've been here screwing up names like Lindell Wigginton and Tyrese Halliburton, and no, I'm not over yesterday's program yet, you know I'm a huge baseball fan. I've been a huge baseball fan almost my entire life. I'll be 40 this year, and I've been a baseball fan since I was six, seven years old. So 34 plus years. Pitchers and catchers are reporting to Arizona and Florida this week, and I'm not excited about it. I don't have the same excitement about this season that I have had in past years. Now, part of that is the fact that my favorite team has chosen to sort of sit out the off season and not make any major acquisitions and make itself better after a disappointment. If you're a Cubs fan and you're excited about this season, kudos. Good on you. And the other half is Major League Baseball's movement to blow up the minor leagues, and I think they're headed for a labor fight with the players in another year. And it just seems I'm having a really hard time investing in this upcoming season and in this sport anymore. And if you're losing me, I don't want to sit here and make myself out to be Walter Cronkite, but there's that famous axiom that during the Vietnam War, when Walter Cronkite went to Vietnam and he came back and he reported on everything that he saw, and Cronkite basically said, this ain't it, Chief. You lose Walter Cronkite, people in America were like, okay, we got a problem here. Baseball's losing people like me. That's a problem, isn't it?
Well, it's especially a problem since they're not gaining anybody else.
That too, yes.
So it's just so unbelievably stupid.
How do you gain people when you can't watch the product? And that's, I think, what I've failed to understand here is for years and years and years, if they just listened to the people, they would have figured this out a long time ago. Look at other sports. And the NHL and the NBA and the NFL, for the most part, have embraced social media. They've embraced highlights, being able to circumnavigate the globe in GIF form and things of that nature. Baseball has been very reticent to all of that. Got to protect the copyright. They shut the pitching ninja guy, Rob Friedman, they shut his account down last year because he was sharing clips of great baseball. People were enjoying it, and baseball was like, nah, we don't want people to see that.
Things that make baseball, make people appreciate how difficult playing the sport of baseball is, how unbelievable what those guys do out on a field is. And that's something I think is lacking altogether of just watching baseball on TV. And when somebody on Twitter goes and gives you that graphic of seeing how a slider from the same arm angle as a fastball breaks a foot, that's cool. And baseball just is like, no, we can't have our clips out there. That's a copyright infringement. And we can't have people being able to readily watch our product.
I don't know how you grow a future generation of fans when you make it almost impossible to watch a Midwest team in the state of Iowa. Oh, blackout. Or in this particular, you know, the Cubs.
All the teams that people like here.
And the Cubs are another can of worms right now because depending on who your cable provider is, if you don't get the marquee sports network, you're not going to get to see any of their games. And not only in the state of Illinois, they haven't come to an agreement with Comcast, which is the number one cable provider in the state, but a lot of streaming services aren't exactly on board yet with the Cubs' new network. It's just, it's a giant, giant mess. And you add to this, I completely agree with you. By the way, you're more than welcome to join the conversation, 319-366-1600. What's not broken about baseball is its postseason. This is not the NHL where half the league gets into the playoffs, seemingly. The NBA, where you have eight spots, everybody seemingly gets, you've got to be really bad to not make the postseason. Baseball's postseason is great as it is. Could it be better? Maybe the wild card needs to be three games instead of one. I'm fine with that. The regular season needs to, the regular season needs the postseason and vice versa. The postseason isn't the problem here. The regular season is, because you have a lot of people going, 162 games is a lot.
Yeah. That's the whole point of the postseason, is that you finally see baseball with urgency, a crazy amount of urgency, after you just sat through 162 games.
And hardcore baseball fans understand that there's urgency on May 22nd. The casual fan, not so much, because the postseason's a long way down the road. But most baseball fans say, hey, wait a minute, they all matter. This is a, over the course of time here, 162 instances where they'll determine in the end whether you're going to the postseason or not. I'm fine. Shorten the regular season. I'm fine with that. And I know there are people out there, well, what about the record books? The baseball season didn't always used to be 162 games a season. It used to be shorter than that. Shorten the regular season. Leave the postseason alone. But the problem is, there's too much money. Postseason is where TV comes into play, because that's when people are watching. That's when people are paying attention, and baseball wants to make more money. That's why they want to radically alter the face of minor league baseball, because these 42 teams they want to put out of existence cost them some money.
So very little, but yes.
Very little. But they want to save that money, and they want to make more money elsewhere. They don't know how to market their product. And my argument is that you have an affiliate in Clinton, Iowa, or Boise, Idaho, you are marketing your product to fans in those markets. Baseball doesn't see it that way. Baseball has a lot of problems right now. The postseason's not one of them. We're going to get into this with Ed Creech again, joining us tonight at 5 o'clock. The idea of discussing baseball today was centered on the fact that Baseball Prospectus has released its PECOTA rankings. And if you know or remember last year, much of the rub around the PECOTA rankings, at least in this part of the country, was that PECOTA was not exactly high on the Chicago Cubs last year. And remember people, remember the freak out? The
yeah.
Cubs fans were like, this is crazy. And then what happened? Cubs weren't very good last year.
They're like six or... So they were better than the PECOTA ratings or rankings, whatever you want to call them, indicated, but...
marginally.
They didn't end up getting in the playoffs.
I'm sure as a Cardinals fan, you're not a huge fan of them, because I think for, is it seven of the last 8 years, something like that, PECOTA has underrated. The Cardinals are consistently an overachiever when it comes to computer projections.
Yeah. Here's the thing this year. They're projected at 80 and 82, correct? There was a
80 and 82, yes.
There was a...
if you now, again, this involves Iowa caucus math here. 80.3 and 81.7. So I'm rounding 80.3 down and 81.7 up.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's
I got to be
totally
careful.
Okay.
I got to be careful. If I'm too competent with math, I may wind up getting a job at the IDP. So I don't want that to happen here. But the Cardinals are projected to go 80 and 82.
I've seen some people pointing out, well, they've been off on the Cardinals, and the Cardinals have exceeded their expectations for, like you said, the last 6 years. But then other people are like, what on paper makes you, would you project them to be a, would make you project them to be a better than 500?
They've had a miserable offseason.
Oh, they've been the terrible offseason.
And so did the Cubs, and so did the Brewers.
But the thing about the Cardinals is they were incompetent offensively, and they lost their second best hitter, and they replaced him. with nothing. So all of a sudden, Matt Carpenter's going to start hitting again?
I think they're counting
Harrison Bader, Tyler O'Neill. Yeah, right. Okay.
Dylan Carlson, one of their top prospects, presumably making an appearance at some point this season.
I just am not high on the St. Louis Cardinals.
Well, neither is Pecota.
And neither is Pecota, and I don't blame Pecota for that, and I certainly cannot blame people for crunching all the numbers, trying to come up with a projection, and being a little bit off. And they were a little bit off on the Chicago Cubs last year. I think they had them at 77 wins.
But not terribly that far off. Something was amiss with the team, and the computer said, hey, we don't think this team's going to be as good as everybody else thinks it could be. Now, you're wondering, perhaps, what Pecota thinks of the rest of the NL Central. Cincinnati Reds, I think Cincinnati has had by far the best offseason of any team in baseball. And that's why the Reds are projected to win the division with 86 wins.
Is it sacrilegious of me to say that a part of me hopes that the Cincinnati Reds do win the division?
Cyclone Tim is saying no right now. He's saying it's not.
They're the team. They're the only team that tried. They're the only team that went out and tried to make themselves better and showed some urgency in doing so. So, sure, I've grown up with the Cardinals. I want the Cardinals to win the NL Central. But a part of me is saying they don't deserve it. The Cubs, with the way that they are crying poor, don't deserve it. The Brewers don't deserve it. The Pittsburgh Pirates are awful. They may lose 100 games. The Reds are the team that went out and tried, and part of me thinks that they do deserve it.
I'm not going to argue with you on that, because I think teams that try should be rewarded, at least karmically speaking. So the projections have the Reds winning the... And then this tells you everything you need to know about the NL Central, because no other division winner is projected to win as few games as the Central winner. The Reds at 86 and 76. You've got the Cubs, then the Cardinals, the Brewers, and the Pirates are projected to finish in the basement. In the AL Central, Pecota loves the Twins. No surprise there. Minnesota, 93.4 wins, 68.6 losses. To me, the big surprise here is we've spent much of the offseason here in the Midwest hearing about the Chicago White Sox, and the White Sox are ready to have their big breakthrough this year. 82.5 wins, 79.5 losses. That's the projection. Now, again, you can say, this system is not accurate. It misses the mark a lot of times. I would have expected the system to be a little bit higher on the White Sox. I think the White Sox can finish in second place in that division. I really do. I don't get the love for the Indians. The Indians are once again projected to be also rans in the AL Central, but that's, right now that division is a 1.5 team division. You get the Twins, and then there's... It's either the Indians or the White Sox, and the Tigers and the Royals are both atrocious. And speaking of the Royals, we're going to have a huge Royals fan in studio with us on Friday, excited to have our good friend Chris Earl from TV9, who's going to be taking over for Bruce Auney. We will have him here in studio on Thursday, and we'll find out whether or not he plans on growing a mustache as he sits next to Beth Malicki on the TV9 anchor desk. But we'll get his thoughts on the Royals' projection of 68 wins at this point. Now, here's the thing that I'm not a huge fan of with the projections. This has the Astros winning the AL West, and rather handily, by 12 games over the Angels. The Astros, as you know, have had a rather tumultuous offseason. And while the roster is intact, they did lose Gerrit Cole.
And is the trash can still in Houston? That's my question.
I think the window is there for the Angels or the A's to possibly unseat Houston this year if everything absolutely circles the drain there. But the projection absolutely loves the Yankees. They have them at 99 wins. And the Dodgers.
The Dodgers, of course.
Dodgers at 102.5 simulated wins at the moment. Keep an eye on the Padres. They've got them finishing second in the NL West. Baseball season's right around the corner. We'll have Ed Creech with us coming up at 5 o'clock tonight. Lots to get to with him, including getting his thoughts on baseball's proposed plan. And maybe this is just the shiny object to get people to stop talking about banging on trash cans and to stop talking about trying to kill minor league baseball and everything else. Can you? It's hard to imagine a sport having a worse, say, 2 months than Major League Baseball's had recently in the off season.
I just feel like every single year for the past four off seasons, we've talked about how bad of an off season Major League Baseball had, and each year it somehow gets worse.
Yeah, Rob Manfred's like, hold my beer. I can make this a lot worse if you just give me an opportunity to.
And he has every time. He has not failed at making everybody hate him.
Buttons, I'm glad you're entertained because I'm not so sure anybody else out there is today. You either like baseball talk in February or you don't. The division winners, by the way, if you are concerned about this at all, the Yankees, Twins, and Astros in the American League, the Mets, Reds, and Dodgers in the National League, the PECOTA rankings available at baseballprospectus.com. We've also got a link to them on our Facebook page as well today. You can check out KGYM Radio on Facebook. Give us a follow on Twitter at KGYM Radio. We'll turn our attention on the other side of the break to Big Ten basketball because there are a couple interesting contests tonight. And the Hawkeyes face a very stiff challenge over their next seven games. How stiff? We'll get into that in just a little bit. But first, here's Alex with a big board update.
News that came across our timeline as we were on the show yesterday. Iowa power forward Cordell Pimsel is going to serve a one-game suspension for driving with a revoked license. The incident took place early Monday morning after Pimsel was pulled over for having a taillight out. He's going to miss the game on Thursday at Indiana. That game will get underway at 7 p.m. Central Time. Clear Creek, Amana defensive end and four-star prospect TJ Bowlers got a big-time offer today from Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide. Bowlers is currently a top 100 prospect with over a dozen Power 5 offers, including Iowa and Iowa State. There's still no timetable on when he is going to make his commitment decision. Former Iowa safety Miles Taylor, who had spent the past two seasons as a graduate assistant on Kirk Ferentz's staff, has accepted a full-time position as cornerbacks coach at the University of Tennessee Martin. The Skyhawks are in the FCS. We have high school basketball tonight on all four of our frequencies. First, beginning at 5:50 p.m., a doubleheader will start with West Branch and Regina. At Regina, on, as I mentioned, 106.3 FM, that's a girl-boy doubleheader. And at 7:20 on 1600 AM, 107.5 and 102.3 FM, Cedar Rapids Kennedy visits Cedar Rapids Xavier.
All right, we will take a quick time out. As we mentioned, Iowa faces a very difficult challenge over its seven remaining Big Ten games. Just how difficult? Dave Revson of the Big Ten Network says extremely difficult. We'll get to that and your thoughts on Cordell Pimsel and a whole lot more. Some basketball discussion around the corner after this.
At CPQ Hoyt Jewelers, Valentine's Day is all about the bundle, baby. Now through Valentine's Day, Friday, February 14th, we're bundling the love with our local romance bundle. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. With any purchase of just $99 or more, we're going to throw in a beautiful box of chocolates. Now, if you spend $2.99 or more, you'll get the box of chocolates and a $50 gift card to 30 Hop. Now, are you ready for this? Spend $9.99 or more, and you get the chocolates, great, the $50 30 Hop card, sweet, and a one-hour couples massage from Hands in Harmony. Woohoo! Woo! Now that's an awesome local romance bundle. And of course, in Siebke Hoyt fashion with approved credit, you'll get 0% financing for 12 months. It's the Valentine's Day local romance bundle, and it's only at Siebke Hoyt, now through Valentine's Day.
You already know Network Computer Solutions protects your network and computers, but did you know they can also protect your business with a security system? NCS offers everything: camera systems, door access, key fob entrance cards, even 24-hour video surveillance. They understand how important security is to your work and your people, so they customize every element for you. For a free consultation and site review, call NCS at 247-7223. 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT and security puzzle.
Is one of your New Year's resolutions to remodel your home? Look no further than Alexander Lumber and Answers by Alexander. Need new doors? They can help. The same goes for hardware. Are you looking for new cabinets? They can design the new space of your dreams with beautiful, well-born cabinetry. And they have lumber, of course, but also decorative shiplap and other trim as well. If you're remodeling in 2020, consult with the designers at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
At the Happy Honda Days sales event, you can unwrap incredible deals that'll make you...
Oh my gosh.
You know, the kind of gift that makes you...
No way.
Yep, that's basically Happy Honda Days in a chestnut shell.
Get a great deal on a 2019 CR-V from KBB.com's best overall brand for 2019 with 1.9% APR financing for well-qualified buyers.
Hurry into your local Central Midwest Honda dealer or go to CentralMidwestHondaDealers.com for more details.
See dealer for financing details based on 2019 brand image awards from Kelley Blue Book. Visit KBB.com for more information.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
434, welcome back in. It is the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, KGYM, 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, and on the all-new Gym OT, 107.5 FM. Give us a call right now at 319-366-1600, and you're going to take home a $50 gift card to Culver's Garden Center and Greenhouse. They're open year-round on Highway 151 in Marion. $50 to Culver's Garden Center and Greenhouse, and all you need to do is pick up the phone and say hi to Buttons. 319-366-1600. He's going to let us know who our winner is coming up in just a little bit. Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com set to join the program in 25 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on Major League Baseball as pitchers and catchers begin to trickle in to Arizona and Florida. Joe Maddon had some things to say about his time with the Chicago Cubs and their front office recently. Check that. I think NBC Sports Chicago has the full write-up there. Needless to say, he didn't sound like he was necessarily thrilled about leaving Chicago, but he was butting heads with Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer and to a lesser extent ownership, and now he's got a fresh start in Los Angeles where he has Mike Trout. I'm going to follow Joe Maddon sort of to Anaheim here. I like him, and I may be, that sounds terrible to say, I may be more intrigued by the Angels this year than following my own favorite team, which is the team that Maddon used to manage. They've got Mike Trout, the most dynamic player in baseball. They've got Shohei Ohtani, who is he's a tremendous, tremendous two-way player. He's a great pitcher who's going to be limited this year as far as innings pitched go because he's still coming back from Tommy John surgery. But I have seen people say that if he just wanted to be a designated hitter, that he could be one of the best hitters in the game.
He's a really good hitter. The first couple of years of his career, he's shown that he's at least a mid to upper level DH.
And then you watch him pitch, and you go, man, if he could just worry about pitching all the time and not worry about hitting, he's too good at both of them to focus on just one, and those types of players are extremely rare.
I think the comforting thing with him with the Angels is, let's just say he gets hurt pitching, they may at some point just say, okay, let's let you focus on hitting. Because that's a guy that, it like you said, if he focused on being a DH strictly, that's going to prolong his career, whereas you see some of these top-level pitching prospects that throw just as hard as he did get their careers shut off so early because of injuries.
You also have the owner of the Angels, Artie Moreno, who he put the kibosh on the Jock Peterson portion of that mega trade, the Mookie Betts deal that was a three-way deal between the Dodgers and the Red Sox and the Twins, and then there was a separate deal between the Dodgers and the Angels that was going to send Jock Peterson from the Dodgers to the Angels. Artie Moreno, yesterday it was reported, told management, don't do the deal, in part because he was tired of how long it was taking the Dodgers to figure out the Mookie Betts part. So he just decided that he was going to throw a tantrum, take his ball, in this particular instance, his ball being a starting pitcher, and go home, which I think is a fantastic, fantastic way to go about things, but maybe not the best way to run a major league franchise. 319-366-1600 is the First Federal Credit Union text line. You can use it to reach out to us, or you can pick up the phone and call us, as Chad in Alburnett did. He is tonight's winner of that $50 gift card to Culver's Garden Center and Greenhouse. Keep them in mind if you're doing some Valentine's Day shopping. Not only do they offer a wide variety of house plants that are virtually, I say virtually, not totally hard to kill. I've got a couple house plants at home. Sometimes you look at them and wonder, when's the last time that thing got some water? It's not a cactus, but it's still green. It's still surviving. They also have bouquets, candy, knickknacks, and they're open year-round on Highway 151 in Marion. Big thank you to Culver's Garden Center and Greenhouse for their support of KGYM. Let's go ahead and turn our attention away from baseball. We'll get back to it with Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com, although it is nice to know that some people out there appreciate talking about it in February. February 11th is Pitchers and Catchers Report here. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be one of those guys, though. The sport's losing me. We got somebody on the text line that said, okay, Cyclone Tim, that's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life, and we oftentimes
I'm saving this picture.
Okay, you know what? You're more than welcome to, because the Vikings photo that he created for you, but Cyclone Tim has just sent I don't want to say it's poorly Photoshopped. It's a better Photoshop than Major League Baseball does when players get traded. But he's Photoshopped a Cincinnati Reds hat onto my head. And I tell you what, if the Reds win the division, Tim, if the Reds win the Central this year, I will change my avatar to that photo on Twitter. You have that, I would say, in writing, except this is not writing. But you have my verbal pledge on February 11th. Buttons, mark this down. If the Reds win the NL Central, I will change my Twitter avatar from the cartoon to me in the... Now, see, I've got...
How long? A week?
I'll do it for the entirety of the MLB postseason in 2020. You can still see the Cubs logo on the shirt, Tim. You should have maybe cropped that out a little bit, but it's okay. 319-366-1600. We move on. Before we move on from baseball, get back to just how arcane and behind the times they are with social media. We had somebody on the text line that said their child had highlights of Javier Baez taken down from YouTube. Again, great way to grow the game. You've got a middle school-aged child who's excited about his favorite player, presumably his or her, and baseball puts in the copyright complaint.
Do they shut down lemonade stands with Cub logos on them too?
Don't give Rob Manfred any ideas. 1979 on the text line says they lost them 5 years ago to soccer.
The MLS?
This is what baseball is facing right now. You're losing fans to soccer. I heard somebody say the other day, MMA may be more popular than baseball right now.
Actually, I think it probably is. Based on the turnouts for the big fights, I think it is. The amount of money that they bring in for just random fights, these restaurants and bars. And I get that it's only intermittently throughout the year, but the MMA following is pretty big.
35-31, my 11-year-old had YouTube highlights of Javi taken down. So that's baseball, picking a fight with an 11-year-old over its usage of two images. Let's go to the phone lines, 366-1600. Adam in Cedar Rapids, before we get to Big Ten basketball tonight, what's on your mind?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Loving the show as always. Loving all the baseball talk. You guys are crazy about the Cincinnati Reds. There is no way in heck that's going to happen. But regardless of that, you know, with the Angels, I'm the same. Joe Maddon, I love him as a coach. I love him as a manager, I should say. And I just love the way he goes about getting his players involved. The only problem is they don't have any pitching, and everyone always forgets about my beloved Oakland A's. But, yes, MLB has a problem with trying to capture the younger fans. The NBA seems to be taking all the younger fans along with football and all these MMA and other sports. And to be doing that kind of crazy stuff over the internet when kids just want to do that kind of stuff, it's stupid. And especially if, you know, it's almost like putting posters up on, you know, on your wall when you were a kid. They ain't doing that anymore. Instead, they're going to YouTube, and it's getting all taken down. And I don't want to watch all MLB on YouTube. So anyway, loving the baseball talk, guys. It's February. Pitchers Catch Report. Go A's. Alex Kuhn, you are the man.
Adam Pakoda has the A's at 85-77 this year. They, along with the Tampa Bay Rays, continue to be the little engine that could. Every year, year in and year out, Billy Beane puts a team on the field that everybody laughs and scoffs at and says, that team will go 77-85, and then it goes 85-77. 366-1600 mentioned that it is a good night of basketball, not necessarily across the college ranks, but in the Big Ten in particular. Our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com wants to know which of the following games you find most intriguing tonight. Penn State is at Purdue, and Michigan State is at Illinois. The poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. That's also our would you tonight. Alex, which game would you say is more of interest tonight? Perhaps more of interest to folks here in Eastern Iowa as it pertains to the Hawkeyes, because both of these games are going to have an effect on the Big Ten standings. Michigan State in a little bit of a tailspin going to Champaign this evening, and Penn State at Purdue. The third game, Nebraska at Maryland, is virtually already in the win column for the Terrapins. Nebraska's lost its last 14 Big Ten games on the road. Penn State at Purdue or Michigan State, Illinois tonight?
I'm going with Michigan State and Illinois because I'm still looking at the Big Ten and trying to figure it all out. And it's crazy to sit here on February 11th and say that Michigan State tonight has a real chance of just getting buried in the Big Ten standings. A Michigan State team that came in as the preseason number one team in the country is out of the top 25. And I'm not going to continue to pile on college basketball, but I keep hearing about how these conferences, the Big Ten is the best conference. And I think from a depth standpoint, that's true. But I'm waiting for a team to emerge as the top-level team. Now, Maryland has all the ingredients to do so. But right now, Illinois looks like they have the best chance of winning the Big Ten championship of any of these teams sort of at the top. They're one game out, and the rest of their schedule, they play Michigan State at home. They have a couple of tough games on the road against Rutgers and Penn State, Nebraska and Northwestern. Then they play Indiana at home, Ohio State on the road, then they have Iowa at home. It's not easy, but I think Illinois, from all the teams that I've seen, is pretty darn impressive and has as good a chance as anybody, maybe outside of Maryland, of winning this conference. So Illinois has a chance to put away Michigan State tonight and sort of catapult themselves up into the Big Ten standings.
Every year I say you don't bet against Tom Izzo and Michigan State in March. This is the year that I'm thinking I'm actually going to fade Michigan State.
Yeah, because I think they're that good.
I think this is for real. I think this is a down year in East Lansing, and you can't convince me otherwise at the moment. 319-366-1600. Again, the Spartans right now hanging around with Iowa and Rutgers at 8-5 in league play. Rutgers almost was 7-6. The Scarlet Knights surviving a big-time scare at home on Sunday. Down, I believe it was 14 points to Northwestern. Rutgers comes back, forces overtime, and then wins in OT. The team, I mean, I don't think anybody wants to play Maryland.
They're the most talented team.
In March. At the beginning of the year, not a huge surprise to see Maryland atop the rest of the Big Ten. But again, if the season ended today, Maryland, Penn State, Illinois, and Iowa get the double bye at the conference tournament. Penn State, Illinois, and Iowa. Maybe you see a year where one team completely comes out of nowhere. But to have those three teams all in the top four at this point. Now, that being said, as I mentioned, the road is not necessarily going to be kind to Iowa over its final seven Big Ten games. Dave Revson of the Big Ten Network pointing out today that of Iowa's remaining seven Big Ten games, they're all quad one, at least at the moment, quad one games, which is the metric that is used to derive the net rankings, correct?
Yeah, the rest of their schedule's brutal. And I'm just wondering how many of these games they can reel off, because none of them are gimmies. I think that out of any of them, the one where you just sort of circle and say they should win that game, Ohio State at home. And then they have two games at home against Penn State and Purdue. Purdue is no gimme at this point, the way that they're playing. But to me, I'm looking around the Big Ten and I'm saying there are a lot of really good big men. And people have pointed that out all year long. How deep this league is with power forwards and centers. But there's not a lot of good guard play. And quite honestly, the reason I think that Iowa has been so successful this season is because they have both. They have a dominant center, one of the best players in the country, and two elite-level shooting guards. Two elite-level wings that can shoot the lights out when they are on. And I think the way that they are constructed, their starting five, the way it's set up, is as good of a starting five as you could have to kind of go into the tournament. Because I think that the NCAA tournament, this time of year, it's all about guards. Who is going to have the best scores at that position? And you look around the league, I understand that Anthony Cowan is one of the better point guards in the league, but I just don't think Maryland has great guard play. Illinois has pretty good guard play. That's why I think they're very dangerous. Michigan State doesn't. They have a good point guard in Cassius Winston, and they can't shoot. They don't have good wing players. So it's anybody's ball game at this point, and I would say that Iowa, the way that they're playing, the way that they're constructed, has a good chance down the stretch. I'm just wondering about two things: schedule and fatigue. When are both of those things going to kind of combine and you see maybe a two or three game losing streak?
I don't think it's going to catch up to Iowa on Thursday. They travel to Indiana to take on the Hoosiers. I think the Hawkeyes are going to win on Thursday. We'll preview that game tomorrow, by the way, with Zach Osterman of the Indy Star, who oftentimes joins us before Iowa plays Indiana in football and basketball. We're also going to talk with Gary Reimer, the play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, tomorrow. I saw one of the latest rounds of bracketology has UNI in the field playing Rutgers in the opening round. I am here for that. You know, I've enjoyed Rutgers all season long and the job that Steve Peichel has done. But A.J. Green, and I said this last night on Twitter, A.J. Green is the type of guy you want to see ruin somebody's season. He's a player that March Madness was made for. The Panthers, if they get in this year, are going to be a tough out for whoever draws them. I want to see them in the field. I just don't know whether or not it's going to take place outside of winning the auto bid in St. Louis. And that's part of the problem with college basketball and the selection process, because do you want to see middle-of-the-pack Power 5 teams, or do you want to see a team like you and I?
That's an interesting question this time of year, especially where we're at. Do you want to see 11 Big Ten teams, or do you want to see more mid-major teams in? 319-366-1600.
We will take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll get to that and more, and then set the table for what's coming up in the 5 o'clock hour as Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com is set to join us. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio after this.
Online sports betting is here with EliteSportsbook.com. If you are an active Riverside Casino and Golf Resort Club member, go to EliteSportsbook.com now and follow the prompts to start betting. Not a Resort Club member? Visit Riverside Casino to join today. Bet with Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort or online now. More ways to get in the game with EliteSportsbook.com and Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. Must be 21. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
I'm Joan from Culver's. We're talking about Valentine's Day. Love encompasses everyone in your life. The gift shop is full of amazing things right now. The children's clothing line, cute little planters, food items you can put together for a gift basket, jewelry that you can't find anywhere else in the state of Iowa, heart-shaped candy boxes, but instead of putting candy in it, we put little plants in it. It's all right there. You don't have to go anywhere else except for right there to Culver's. Culver's Garden Center, Highway 151, East Marion. Come out and see us.
It's happening. Wherever plays are being made, tickets are being sold, and fans are lining up, ADP is designing a better way to work. With industry-leading HR, talent, time, benefits, and payroll, more companies rely on ADP than any other HR partner to help step up their game. From small business to global enterprise, see how ADP can help you and your people achieve what you're working for at design.adp.com. ADP, always designing for people.
Hey, check me into Sport Clips.
Checking you into Sport Clips.
Guys, if you're looking to up your game, then it's time to check in with Sport Clips Haircuts. Think of it as the ultimate hair hack. Sport Clips Guy Smart Stylist can put your hair in a league all its own without taking too much time off the clock. Throw in the towel for our MVP experience, and you've got yourself a whole new hair game. So check in online with Sport Clips today. It's just that easy. And you'll be stepping out like a
pro. It's time for some straight talk. You know what a full court press is in basketball, right? Full defensive coverage with no holes. Well, that's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best 4G LTE networks, same as the big carriers, but just for a lot less. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, saving you up to half the cost of the big carriers. No contract. Full court coverage, half the cost. Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Most ads interrupt your music with dialogue. This ad interrupts it with more music, and that's marginally better. Thanks, Giant Snickers Hole.
Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn.
On winning teams, every player brings their unique strength that has an impact on the results. For Kevin McHale, that meant coming off the bench for the Boston Celtics. Of his almost 1,000 career games, he only started 400 of them. Yet McHale helped lead the Celtics to 3 NBA championships, played in 7 All-Star games, and was inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
You wouldn't draft a point guard to play center, right? It's the same thing as when you're going to hire your next teammate. LinkedIn will match the right talent with your open roles fast. Post a job and you'll get great candidates with the right mix of skills, interests, and experience. So every hire you make is a win for your business. Go to linkedin.com/sports and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/sports. linkedin.com/sports. Terms and conditions apply.
4:57, welcome back in. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, the one and only KGYM. One and only with four frequencies. Of course, 1600 AM, 102.3 FM, and 106.3 FM, as well as the all-new Jim OT. That is what 107.5 FM is currently offering you, some alternative programming to the ESPN schedule that we have at 1600 AM and 102.3 FM throughout the day. You can get details at our website, kgymradio.com. As we mentioned, Zach Osterman of the Indy Star and Gary Rima coming up with us tomorrow on the program. Set to join us in about 8 minutes, Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com. We'll get his thoughts on baseball in general as pitchers and catchers begin reporting to Florida and Arizona this week. CBS Sports, by the way, has a story on what the last five postseasons would have looked like with the expansion of seven teams making the postseason in each league. The Cubs in 2016 would have had the bye to the NLDS. They were 103-58. The Marlins would have made the postseason that year, as well as the Giants, and I believe the other teams were all in the Nationals, Cardinals, Dodgers, and Mets. It's interesting to go back and look at this. I don't think it makes an incentive to be more competitive. I had somebody earlier today on Twitter trying to convince me that this would do away with tanking.
I thought about that.
This isn't going to get teams to not lose. It's just going to keep teams...
Has it stopped anybody in the NBA or the NHL?
No, and it's going to keep teams in the middle from doing anything. You're not going to trade. You're not going to make trades and run up the white flag, and you're not going to make moves to get better because you don't know whether you still don't know whether or not you're going to make the postseason. So from that standpoint, I don't know if this does anything for those baseball teams that are in the middle. What it does is it lines baseball's pockets.
Just puts them in the playoffs to get crushed.
With more money from the TV. And we'll get Ed's thoughts on this coming up in just a little bit. Speaking of Ed's, shout out to Ed in Iowa City. Always appreciate knowing that he's listening, conversing back and forth with us on the First Federal Credit Union text line. Brenton and Marion, everybody out there, know how much you guys mean to us as part of our day here at work. 319-366-1600, the one and only Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com is with us next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
And Radio Sports Center.
Christine Lisi, here's what's happening. The Red Sox named bench coach Ron Renicki, interim manager skipper Alex Cora, and the team parted ways following baseball's investigation into sign stealing by the 2017 Astros. Renicki arrived with Cora in Boston before the 2018 season. A decision by MLB into the probe of sign stealing claims by the Red Sox not expected this week. Tiger Woods today met with the media as he gets ready to play this week at Riviera. Tiger looking for his first W at the event in his hometown, and there are two keys for that victory, which would be his record-setting 83rd on the PGA Tour, explains ESPN's Michael Collins.
He has got to find the fairway with his driver, and if he can find the fairway and stay out of those trees, his greens in regulation are going to go up. So if he finds fairways, and I'm going to say if he's in the top four in greens in regulation, then Tiger's definitely going to be in contention and have a chance to win come Sunday.
NBA Mavs star Luka Doncic says he plans to return from a sprained ankle and play tomorrow. Officially, he's listed as questionable.
Coming up Wednesday, the most high-stakes game of dominoes continues. The latest from the NFL on all the quarterback movement. Plus, has one league made a bad change to their postseason, but somehow still won? Go look and Wingo, Wednesday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
This SportsCenter update is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his crew at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, the team you love, the people you trust since 2004.
Hi, I'm Steve Anderson. Since I grew up 10 minutes from Carver Hawkeye Arena, I've been obsessing over Iowa athletics since birth. Hawkeye teams stand for maximum effort on every play. We founded Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services on some of those same principles. Provide efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling a commercial property or buying your first home. We'll also make it a pleasant and fun transaction. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City. The team you love, the people you trust.
It's time for some straight talk. You know what a full court press is in basketball, right? Full defensive coverage with no holes. Well, that's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best 4G LTE networks, same as the big carriers, but just for a lot less. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, saving you up to half the cost of the big carriers. No contract. Full court coverage, half the cost. Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
There's an app to save on flights, an app to rent a bike, and an app to help you save for driving safely. The Allstate app gives you real-time driving feedback with DriveWise, giving you the power to lower your insurance cost. In fact, safe drivers can save 40% or more. Connect and save with DriveWise. You're in good hands.
Download the Allstate app today. Savings may vary by state and driving behaviors. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Use of Allstate Mobile with activation of DriveWise required. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
5:03, welcome back in. The Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, 102.3 and 106.3 FM, as well as the all-new Jim OT on 107.5 FM, streaming as well at KGYMradio.com. A little bit of news from the State House in Des Moines. The name, image, and likeness bill that was before the Iowa Senate has received unanimous approval from the Senate subcommittee without amendment. So it now advances to the Senate Education Committee. We're actually going to be discussing the NCAA's view on name, image, and likeness and players being compensated for those coming up tonight in about 25 minutes. So stick around for that discussion. But right now, so much going on in the world of Major League Baseball. Pitchers and catchers reporting in Arizona and Florida. Rob Manfred trying to dangle however many shiny objects he possibly can to distract the masses from all of the headlines that have painted the game in a bad way. What better time to bring Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com back onto the program with us. Ed, Todd, and Alex, hopefully you've enjoyed your respite since the last time we chatted with you. Right as the sign-stealing gate was going down in Houston, since then there's been a little bit of fallout in Boston and New York. Are you surprised that this spread as far as it did?
No, I think when the commissioner's report specifically mentioned Cora and Beltran, you knew they were not long for their current jobs. I'm still looking forward to the commissioner's report on the Red Sox scheme. I think that's why when the Red Sox announced that Ron Renicki was going to become their new manager, they called him their interim manager, because I think they're still waiting for that other shoe to drop. I know the Red Sox front office said it's not going to be as bad as what the Astros report was, but it's still interesting that Renicki, they named him the interim rather than the full-time manager.
What did you make of the Astros hire of Dusty Baker?
I think it's a good move. It's similar to what the Red Sox did by promoting Renicki. You want somebody who's a veteran, somebody who's been through the rigors, the ups and downs of a major league season. I think he's known as a player's manager. I think he'll bring a steady influence, an old school influence to the dugout. And I also like the hiring of a James Click as the GM. Tampa Bay has just had their front office raided over the years. And I think it's a solid front office there, and I think he's going to bring the work ethic and the analytics to Houston without all the code-breaking scandals.
One of the aspects of this sign-stealing story that we haven't even delved into too much, it's new within the last 24 hours, but there's a former pitcher, Mike Bolsinger, who is suing the Astros, claiming that their cheating derailed his career. Do you think that there's any merit to this, and should the Astros be worried about this getting to the point where discovery would be involved?
I don't think there's merit to the claim, and I don't think that's really why he's doing it. I think, first off, there's going to be antitrust issues. Major League Baseball has that. As far as the Astros, I think Major League Baseball is the one that doesn't want this. They tried their best to put this whole thing to bed by giving the players immunity for testifying. And I don't think they really want to go beyond what was in the commissioner's report. And I think this lawsuit, not so much for Bolsinger to gain any sort of revenue, because he's already made it clear that whatever he earns in this lawsuit, he's giving away to various forms of charity, whether it be pension for ball players or whatnot. I think this is basically an attempt to somebody who had one bad game against Houston, in which the trash can banging was at its apex, And I think this is an attempt to kind of really get to more answers than what the commissioner's report provided. If it does get to the discovery phase, you're going to have officials from the Astros, players from the Astros being deposed. And I think this is really going to tear the Band-Aid off of what the commissioner's report tried to paper over. So I think this is not so much the Astros. They've been tarred and feathered already. I think this is going to go back to Major League Baseball as far as through the discovery process. What could they learn that wasn't in the commissioner's report? And if they learned something that wasn't in the commissioner's report, then why wasn't it in the commissioner's report? So I think this is a bed of nails right now for Major League Baseball, and I think their lawyers, along with the Astros, are going to do their damnedest to try to put this to bed.
Ed, let's get to the news of the past 36 hours. What was your reaction when you saw the New York Post report on the proposed change to the playoff format that Rob Manfred is considering?
Well, anytime you expand playoffs, there's always that fear of diluting the playoffs. Similar to what the college bowl system is. It seems like any team that has a 5-6 record is now playing in a college football bowl game, and it really dilutes it. You see that somewhat with the NBA. Having said that, that's my initial gut reaction. I think when you take a look in the broader perspective, I think opening up to 14 teams, 7 in each league, and the way they had it formatted makes a lot of sense. Now, unfortunately, Major League Baseball's purpose for doing this is not to better the game, not to attract fans, but it seems to be their main goal is to appease the players and hope this paves the way to a collective bargaining agreement in 2021. The idea being if you open it up to more playoff teams, more teams will want to spend, and therefore the players will be happy and sign a new CBA in a year and a half. That aside, I like the format that they've proposed, except for the gimmicky bachelorette type thing where teams pick their opponents in the playoffs. I like the idea of the team with the best record gets the bye into the division series, the division winners are then matched up against the wild card teams. And I like the 3-game home where the wild card team, the lower seed wild card team, doesn't get a home game. I think that helps with the schedule because I think Major League Baseball still wants to keep the 162-game schedule. And if they do this, they can start the playoffs, this new wild card round on a Monday, have it done by a Wednesday, and still have a regular schedule, a normal schedule like they've had in the past for the division series. So that part interests me. The teams picking who they play, I think that just opens up a lot of a can of worms. And I think if they want to do a selection show type thing, then it should be like a blind draw. But I think either way, it's gimmicky. They're doing it to draw new broadcast networks into it because the contracts with TBS and ESPN also ends in 2021. So they are planning on starting this in 2022. That's a dangle to get a better contract from the cable nets. So the motivation for this doesn't seem to be in the best interest of the game. It seems to be more economic as far as TV contracts and getting the players to put their signatures on the line of a new CBA.
Ed, do you see this affecting the regular season schedule at all? Would they have to maybe shorten things up in order to allow for additional postseason games?
As of right now, it doesn't seem like that. The proposal, again, with the home team having all 3 games in their place, so there's no travel, they could seriously end the season on a Sunday, have their selection show on a Sunday night, and then have a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday series, just like it's another extended part of the regular season, and then have a Thursday off day and begin the division series on that weekend. So I don't think Major League Baseball wants to extend the playoffs into November. It starts to go up against the NFL, and as we've seen, the NFL is king still. So they don't want to lose the inventory for the regular season. So I think by having the wild card round of the playoffs have no travel dates in it, I think they can probably shoehorn it in at the end of the regular season and still have a normal schedule like they've had the last few years as far as the division playoffs. So I don't, as of right now, foresee Major League Baseball cutting back on the regular season.
One of the things that I thought of here is the Major League Baseball playoffs, I don't necessarily think that that's what a lot of people are talking about as far as needing change. You look at the regular season, you hear about how it's too long and some people can't hold it doesn't hold people's interest. for an entire 162-game schedule. If they extend the playoffs, would that even dilute the regular season even more? Kind of, I'm looking at the NBA right now, and I'm seeing that very thing. Eight teams in the playoffs, and it just makes the regular season sometimes feel sort of meaningless.
Well, and that's an amazing, I think the great contrast, compare and contrast, is the NHL and the NBA. The NBA seems to have those problems. Anytime you talk about expanding the playoffs, diminishing the regular season, the NBA is the poster child for that. But then again, if you take a look at the NHL, those the way they have their playoff system set up, which is similar to what the NBA has,
right.
You have the eight teams from each conference. But what you have there is still the regular season is still important, maybe because it's not just wins versus losses. They also have points, two points for the win, one for an overtime or shootout. And I still think the playoffs, there is nothing more exciting than playoff hockey with a sudden death. Even then, when we talk about maybe diluting the playoffs with a larger field, many times do you see a lower seed upseeding a higher seed in the first round of the NHL playoffs. So all the bad things you can think of about expanding the playoffs, you see it in the NBA. But I think you should also take a look at the NHL, and I think that's the best case scenario for when you want to make an argument about expanding your playoff field.
Ed Creech with us of MLBTradeRumors.com. So much going on in baseball as pitchers and catchers report. What was your initial reaction to the Mookie Betts trade, first off version one and now version two, and can it be argued that this is in any way, shape, or form good for baseball?
I don't think so. I don't think it's ever good for baseball when you can't maintain your stars. And then when you have a team like Boston, who has been constantly among the top two or three teams in spending throughout the last decade, all of a sudden deciding, well, guess what? We need to get under the luxury tax. And so let's dump the, you know, one of the top four or five players in all of the game currently and dump David Price to save ourselves $75 million over the next 3 years. That's a bad signal for baseball. When you have one of your richest teams acting like the Tampa Bay Rays. I think it's a great deal for the Dodgers. It shows that the Dodgers are tired of making the World Series and losing, and they want to end their 30-year drought of a World Series championship. And so they're making the move for it. It's going to be a wonderful lineup for the Dodgers, pairing Betts and Bellinger. That's going to be an awesome middle of the lineup for the Dodgers. It depends on the outlook. Again, if you're the Dodgers, you think this is a great move and this is what baseball is all about, using your financial resources and prospect resources to acquire the best talent that's out there. For Boston, I think it's a shameful move that they pulled, and I think Minnesota was the beneficiary of this, and they got a nice mid-round starter in Kenta Maeda to help with their rotation for a playoff push. So it seems like every team but Boston was made this deal with the intent of a solid, long postseason drive. Even the aborted deal with the Angels, I thought was an outstanding deal for the Angels, getting Peterson and Stripling. But it seemed like the Red Sox, for whatever reason, they're trying to turn themselves into a large market Pittsburgh Pirates.
Could we see another domino fall with a star player like, say, a Chris Bryant, now that we know that his grievance has been filed, and Nolan Arenado in Colorado, who continues to be upset with being in Colorado?
I think it will be easier for the Cubs to deal Bryant than it would be for the Rockies to deal Arenado, simply because there's less money involved with Bryant and you have him for two guaranteed years. And while you will have Arenado for at least 2 years because he has that opt-out after 2021, I think because of the money that could be attached to him if he decides not to opt out and the prospect package, I think it's really kind of scared some teams off. I think Bryant's a little easier. You know you're going to have him for 2 years. You can slap a qualifying offer on him because of Scott Boras is his agent. You know when he becomes a free agent, he's going to test the waters. So I think it would be a lot easier for the Cubs to deal Bryant than it would be for the Rockies to deal Arenado. And it would not surprise me now that that's been resolved, that if it's going to, you know, you would like to think it would have happened by now. It's tough to see a marquee name like Chris Bryant dealt during spring training or at the end of spring training, but it'll be interesting to see how desperate, say, the Braves or Phillies or Rangers are after they've had 2 or 3 weeks of spring training to see how their third base situation looks. If they're satisfied, Bryant probably stays. But if one of those three teams, maybe even the Nationals, have injuries or they're a little wonky about who they are currently plotting to put at third base, then you might see them swing a trade towards the end of spring training.
Since I just heard you say the word marquee, should Cubs fans be a little concerned that they're not going to be able to see their team this year if they are in parts of the country that don't have a deal worked out for the new network?
Hasn't bothered Dodger fans. They've had issues getting a clearance for their cable network. So again, it goes back to it's going to leave a bad taste in fans' mouths, especially in Chicago. The Cubs had been from their WGN days, had always been on free TV, available for the entire country to see. And that's how I think they have such a wide fan base, is because they were on WGN and they were playing day games so people could watch them on cable. And even though in the last few years they went to Comcast Sportsnet or NBC Sports Chicago, whatever they want to call it, they still had games on free TV, whether it was on the ABC affiliate here in town or still on WGN. I think that's kind of the sad thing as far as trying to expand or maintain your fan base. It's going to be through television, and it's becoming more and more expensive to attend in person, especially at Wrigley Field. And so if you're going to grab the younger fan base, they have to be able to see them on TV. And by doing a method like this, it's worked for the Yankees with the YES Network. The Dodgers are still struggling with this. It'll be interesting to see whether Marquee follows the Dodgers template or if they become a big success like the YES Network has in New York.
The Pecota projections were released today. Are you buying the Cincinnati Reds going into the year after all the moves they've made?
I think they're knocking on the door. I don't think the acquisitions they've made have given them the 15 wins or so that they need to be a real contender for the division. I think they're going to be a solid bet for the wild card. I think they overpaid for Moustakas. I love Mike Moustakas, but I think they overpaid him, paying him $64 million over 4 years to play second base. I think Castellanos was also overpaid. I like Miley. I think he rounds out a very nice rotation. I think Straup, if he can get back to the way he's been, not in 2019, but the previous years, I think that's another solid arm in the bullpen. I just still don't think, even with the acquisition of Castellanos and Akiyama, the outfield concerns me, and I think the Reds are at this stage where they need everything to go right if they want to win the division. And with Suarez having the shoulder surgery, their luck, they may have won the winter, but right now with the Suarez injury, Votto still needs to bounce back. They have questions about the offense behind the plate and at shortstop. I love their rotation. I think they have a solid bullpen. I think if everything falls right for them, and Suarez's injury makes me think that may not happen, it's going to be a four-team race. But I'm not 100% sold on that, but I am fairly confident. I think it's going to come down to the Cubs, Brewers, and Cardinals for the division in the NL Central.
Ed, as somebody who's based in Chicago, I'm sure you've heard the buzz about the White Sox all offseason as well. Were you surprised to see them as only an 82-83 win team today in the projections?
I think so. But then again, I think the Pecota projections are – I don't put much stock in them. I think they underrepresent most teams to begin with. I think for the White Sox, their key thing is going to be how good is that starting rotation going to be? Can Giolito continue to progress? I think Keuchel and Gonzalez are going to be solid back end of the rotation starters. Can Rodon get healthy and blossom under the tutelage of those two lefties and Grandal? Lopez is another one that needs to take that next step. I think the pieces are in play for the White Sox, and it also helps that they play in a very bad division. With rebuilding teams like the Royals and Tigers, they should be able to rack up a lot of wins playing those two teams. It's going to be interesting to see the White Sox, Indians, and Twins go at it. I'm more confident in the White Sox challenging in the Central than I am in the Reds and the NL Central. I really like what they've done. I like the addition of Grandal behind the plate. I think that's going to be a tremendous step up for them. I think that's going to be one move that the Reds are going to regret, that they didn't outbid the White Sox for Yasmani Grandal.
Is the AL West a foregone conclusion, or can somebody push back other than the Houston Astros and the tumultuous offseason that they've had and push the Astros?
I think he will. I really like what the Angels have done. I would have liked their offseason much better if Arnie Moreno would have kept his nose out of baseball operations and did not veto the Jock Peterson deal, because I think that would have been a great one for them. Adding another left-handed bat in Peterson, he could have had a timeshare with Goodwin, and they wouldn't have to rush Joe Adell up. They could, you know, forget his service time. They could actually let him get some more at-bats in seasoning at AAA, because you have somebody like Peterson and Goodwin who have been able to handle that right field spot. Stripling would have been a nice addition to their rotation as well. The thing for the Angels is going to be, like it always has been, starting pitching. Word is now Ohtani is not going to start pitching until mid-May. Now, whether that means he's actually picking up a ball or will be in the major league rotation, we'll have to see. But their starting rotation is a weak spot. Picking up Rendon. Getting Joe Madden, who I think is worth his weight in gold in the dugout. So I think between the Angels to the A's, I think there's going to be some natural regression for the Astros. Forget about the sign-stealing hangover. They lost Garrett Cole, and their back end of the rotation is a little susceptible, because not only did they lose Cole, they also lost Wade Miley. That's 40% of their starting rotation gone. And you got to wonder whether or not Father Time is going to catch up to Verlander and Greinke. And McCullers is coming off of Tommy John surgery. So I think their rotation is questionable. So I think it's going to be an interesting race. As of right now, I wouldn't surprise me if you see a lot of people start predicting the Oakland A's to win the West this year.
Ed, before we let you go, is Rob Manfred fighting a losing battle trying to contract the minor leagues, or do you ultimately see MLB getting its way there?
I would think they'll ultimately get their way. It is a David versus Goliath situation, and usually, 9 times out of 10, Goliath gets his way. I think Major League Baseball has all the leverage because they're the ones who supply the money to the Major League ball teams and the players. If Manfred wanted to do similar to a lockout where they just says, we're not assigning you our players, and just break the PDAs they have, or the PDCs they have, they could do that. That'd be extreme, but Major League Baseball has tons more leverage than Minor League Baseball does. And it's just been nasty rhetoric between both sides. And you're going to have a third party come in, I think, and mediate this, whether it's Congress or someone else. I just think unless this is simple posturing, this does not look like it's going to end well. And again, Major League Baseball has all the leverage. So I think if they do come to an agreement, it's probably going to tilt heavily to what MLB wants.
Ed, appreciate the time as always, and we look forward to touching base with you during the baseball season.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com, and make sure you check out MLBTradeRumors.com if you're a baseball fan. They'll keep you up to date on all of the comings and goings, including a minor acquisition today by the Chicago Cubs. They're still building that pennant contender in 2020. Former Cleveland Indians second baseman Jason Kipnis, who grew up as a Cubs fan, if I recall correctly, from all those stories and features on him during the 2016 World Series. He was Steve Bartman's neighbor.
Northbrook, Illinois.
As a young man.
Rocking the suburbs.
Jason Kipnis and the Cubs coming to terms on a minor league deal.
I thought the minor league going to get rid of all the minor league teams. I know they said 42, but eventually
they're going to look like a minor league team this year with all of the minor league contracts that they've handed. They're just hoping to strike gold here. It's like going to a racetrack and picking up 100 crumpled bet slips on the ground that people have crumpled up and thrown away, hoping that one of those 100 tickets that people discarded are going to turn out to be an accidentally discarded winning ticket.
Todd, the way that you sort of describe your interest level going into this season, I couldn't help but sort of get a little bit of a flashback to 2015 and going into that NFL season, knowing that the Rams were leaving, and I just could not get excited. I could not bring myself to support the ridiculous ownership and the even more horribly run league that is the NFL. Not necessarily horribly run, but run by horrible people. And I think that's sort of what you're going through right now as far as seeing the fact that Major League Baseball is threatening and may get their way, if Ed Creech is right, in taking baseball right out from under us here in the state of Iowa. and seeing your team right now not spending at all and trying to get better, it's a terrible realization where you love this team so much, but you see the team and the league, and you don't know whether or not you want to be a part of lining their pockets.
I'm having a very difficult time justifying continuing to support Major League Baseball, and not just the Cubs organization, which at every turn seems to want to alienate a certain segment of its fan base and the fan base in general. I'm one of the lucky ones. I think I get to watch their games this year. My television provider has a deal in place with them, so I think I'm going to get. The question is, am I going to want to watch them?
Right.
You know, I was talking to you earlier today about the Blackhawks. I was interested in watching the Blackhawks game tonight. They're so terrible this year, although they're just outside of the final playoff spot. But I'm more interested in watching for the opposing teams at this point. And, of course, Connor McDavid now is going to miss 3 to 4 weeks, and he's not playing tonight in Edmonton as the Blackhawks are continuing this road trip. And I'm almost there with the Cubs this year. Like, I don't feel like I want to invest any more of my time and most importantly, my money, not just with the Cubs, but with Major League Baseball in general, because I don't agree with the direction of the organization. I don't like Rob Manfred. I don't like some of the things that he's trying to do, most notably radically altering the landscape of minor league baseball. And I don't see any end in sight. And I think that after he takes on minor league baseball, he's going to take on the players. And I think we're headed for another 1994. I really do. And I think this time around, you don't have Cal Ripken and his progress toward breaking Lou Gehrig's streak. And you're not going to have Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire to bring people back to the game. This time, if they do this, it's going to be kaput for good, in my opinion. And then you know what? You deserve everything. You deserve to have people say that, hey, I lost baseball 5 years ago. I'm a soccer fan now, or I'm an MMA fan now. And Rob Manfred can look back and he and Bud Selig can wonder what the hell happened. I never thought I would look back and say I miss Bud Selig.
That's why I tweeted that yesterday.
I really do. I really
do. It was much simpler times.
You know,
The thing that I keep hearing, though, when people talk about the whole minor league baseball thing, it's just business. No, it's not. No, it's not.
That's what they want you to believe.
It's not.
It's just business. Well,
it's greed. That's not a fraction of the money. They're paying these guys less than minimum wage either way.
The Mets yesterday made headlines. They poured millions of dollars into their spring training facility in Port St. Lucie, Florida. They completely overdid the major league clubhouse at spring training. And they came out and they said that despite the fact that their Florida State League affiliate plays there during the minor league season, they're not going to allow the minor league players to use the otherwise empty major league clubhouse from spring training because they still want them to see the incentive of reaching the major leagues. Meanwhile, they're paying them less than a living wage and forcing these guys to eat poorly what they can afford to eat. And now they're saying, well, we'll pay them more money. We'll pay them a living wage. But it's going to cost hundreds of other players their jobs, and it's going to cost 42 teams their teams, 42 cities their teams.
I heard an interesting theory about this because when I look at...
Kiss my rear end.
Yeah, when I look at this, I ask why. Why are you doing this? And somebody said they've had so much litigation with the way that the minor league players get paid and the way that a lot of employees of minor league teams get paid, that they just don't want to deal with that anymore. Do you think that's part of it? They don't want to have to like deal with the fact that they're not paying these players anywhere near a living wage?
It's no different. It's no different than going shopping and saying, "Well, we're paying our cashiers more," and then you realize that you used to be able to get through the checkout line pretty quickly because there were 10 cashiers. And now there's 4 cashiers and there's 6 self-checkout kiosks. Okay, so the 4 people that are still running the cash registers, they may be making a little bit more money, but There's six people that are out of a job because they're not running registers anymore. It just, it's a shell game, and that's all it is. And they can hide behind this because most of us are programmed automatically to default to agreeing with the billionaire owners of the team. The Royals just sold for $1 billion, right? And then we have the audacity to read Buster Olney and these people at ESPN talking about Kansas City as a small market team. All of these franchises have a value with a B, billion. And yet we have a tendency to go, oh, it's poor Kansas City Royals.
Poor St. Louis Cardinals. They don't have enough money to spend on free agents.
Don't have two nickels to rub together to re-sign Marcelo Ozuna. Yep. Cubs don't have the money to sign Javier Baez and Chris Bryant and Wilson Contreras to long-term extensions. Mookie Betts, the second best player in baseball, gets traded this offseason because the Red Sox don't want to pay him. And everybody looks at this and goes, oh, okay. It's not normal. It's not good for baseball. Let's get a big board update, and then we'll talk about paying amateur players. How about that?
It was announced during our show last night that Iowa power forward Cordell Pimsel is going to serve a one-game suspension for driving with a revoked license. The incident took place early Monday morning after Pimsel was pulled over for having a taillight out. He's going to miss Iowa's game on Thursday night at Indiana. Clear Creek Amana defensive end and four-star prospect T.J. Bullers got a big-time offer today from Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide. Bullers is currently a top 100 prospect with over a dozen Power 5 offers, including Iowa and Iowa State. Still no timetable on when he will make his commitment decision, and I left out the fact that he was also offered by Texas A&M today. Former Iowa safety Miles Taylor, who spent some time the past two seasons on Kirk Ferentz's staff as a graduate assistant, has accepted a full-time position as the cornerbacks coach at the University of Tennessee. Martin, we're going to have high school basketball for you in just about 20 minutes. If you're listening to us on 106.3 FM, we're going to head out at 5:50 to a doubleheader. First, the girls' game as West Branch travels to Regina, and then the boys' game will follow. At 7:20, there will be the pregame show. Scott Unash will have the call on 1600 AM, 107.5 and 102.3 FM. Cedar Rapids Kennedy travels to Cedar Rapids Xavier.
And how about this? Cedar Rapids is going to get another hockey team next season. I'll have the details for you when we return after this.
At CPQ Hoyt Jewelers, Valentine's Day is all about the bundle, baby. Now through Valentine's Day, Friday, February 14th, we're bundling the love with our local romance bundle. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. With any purchase of just $99 or more, we're going to throw in a beautiful box of chocolates. Now, if you spend $2.99 or more, you'll get the box of chocolates and a $50 gift card to 30 Hop. Now, are you ready for this? Spend $9.99 or more, and you get the chocolates, great, the $50 30 Hop card, sweet, and a one-hour couples massage from Hands in Harmony. Woohoo! Now that's an awesome local romance bundle. And of course, in Siki Hoyt fashion with approved credit, you'll get 0% financing for 12 months. It's the Valentine's Day local romance bundle, and it's only at Siki Hoyt, now through Valentine's Day.
I'm Amelia, and I'm a teenager now. But when I was 5, the final boy wizard book was released, and so was Windows Server 2008. Harry and Hermione are still awesome, but Microsoft is ending support for Server 2008 R2. So if your business is still using Windows Server 2008 R2, you're going to need more than a spell to stay up to date. Fortunately, Network Computer Solutions is like having your very own wizard. Make sure you get in touch with them soon to update your Windows software.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
TCB Pool Hall, it's the real deal. Regulation full-size tables, check. 10 of them. Cold beer, check. 26 rotating taps and another 30-plus brews and bottles and cans. $2 domestic bottles, check. Every day of the week. Nobody fake, nothing filtered. That's the kind of place you want to hang out, right? Check. TCB Pool Hall. Hang out, play pool, drink cold beer. The $2 domestic bottles every day kind. At TCB Pool Hall in the heart of the Ped Mall, downtown Iowa City.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, helpwanted.com.
Salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
What are you doing, Dave? We need help with payroll.
I'm doing squats, Mr. Employee of the Month. I'm taking your advice and I'm working my butt off.
That's not what I meant.
Glutes of steel. Feel them. Right here.
Oh, Dave, now I have to call HR.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, helpwanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Hills Bank is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. Connect with a banker in office or on our Here app. Hills Bank. Connection is here. Member FDIC.
5:37, welcome back in the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio. Don't forget to listen in tomorrow as we'll have Zach Osterman of the Indy Star and Gary Rima, the play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, plus your opportunity to take home another $50 gift card to Culver's Garden Center and Greenhouse on Highway 151 in Marion. We mentioned going into the bottom of the hour break that Cedar Rapids is going to have another hockey team next season. I should have said sort of, because the hockey team actually belongs to Iowa City. Well, it actually belongs to the University of Iowa. The University of Iowa men's club hockey team. Again, Iowa does not have hockey as a scholarship sport. But Alex, the club team from the University of Iowa is going to play at I'm on Ice next season.
Moving out of the mall.
Moving out of Coral Ridge Mall. Probably.
Out of the mall. Great decision. No offense to...
It was fun to
but
occasionally...
apparently the ice was a little sketchy there for a college club hockey game.
It was fun to occasionally do some shopping and run across a hockey game while you were there.
Making one of my favorite pastimes.
Making a Target run. Oh, hey, the Hawkeyes are playing.
I always get so jealous when I see kids out there playing. I was like, I want to play. But anyway... not going to the new Coralville Arena, but coming out to Cedar Rapids. Very interesting.
Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette has the story. I want to make sure that I give my pal JJ credit for that. But the Hawkeyes will be sharing. They'll have their own lockers at the ice arena, and they'll be doing some events. They'll be playing some doubleheaders with the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders, where Iowa's playing before and then the Rough Riders play after. So I know what you're thinking here. The most important line in the story, JJ buried the lead here. Concessions, including alcohol, will be sold at all home games. So there you go. Hockey fans, it's not quite scholarship hockey, but this team, the club team, has existed for a while. They're actually really good. I think they're undefeated this year, and they're going to be playing their games beginning next season here in Cedar Rapids at the Ice Arena. And you can drink beer until your heart's content and watch kids who aren't being compensated at all for their love of the game play the game that they love. Speaking of compensation, Mark Emmert, Alex, you were the one telling me about this today. It's another banner day for Mark Emmert and the NCAA. They continue to try to stave off, fend off the pay-for-play, athletes being compensated for their likeness. The NCAA, are they giving ground here? What's the latest update?
So they met with... Mark Emmert testified in front of the Senate today. He met with the Senate today and was grilled. He absolutely got destroyed from every angle by several...
Hate to see it.
Several senators, including Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, who brought up the whole James Wiseman situation. Is she pandering there at all? I don't know. I'm
politicians would never pander.
They would never do such a thing.
Especially a body as great as the United States Senate.
Mark Emmert was asked about the possibility of players profiting off their name, image, and likeness, and it just doesn't seem like there's any movement toward that, and he still kind of dug his heels in, I thought, and brought up the fact that the Ninth Circuit Court rejected this idea that was originally passed in the Ed O'Bannon case, saying that players couldn't profit off of their name, image, and likeness. But since then, it was passed by the Senate and is now going to go in front of a committee. I don't know what's going to happen here because it doesn't seem... like Mark Emmert and the NCAA is in a hurry to do anything. They just want to sit around and make lots of money doing nothing. So now you have politicians involved, and now you have states passing bills of their own, and this, the only way for this to work is for it to be a national thing. It has to be, there has to be a way to govern it. There has to be the same rules for everybody, and we got to arrive there somehow. I just don't know how we're going to, because we're moving towards it. I don't think we're going to put this toothpaste back in the tube, but it doesn't seem like the NCAA has any interest in pushing this. They said they did, but I don't think they do.
They also, what I found interesting here is that they appear to be giving the appearance that they're giving ground by saying that if this is the road that we're going to go down, then it needs to be uniform. That right. The rule needs to be the same in California as in Iowa. And that right there is the rub, because I think Mark Emmert knows that getting 50 states to agree to the exact same thing, it's never going to happen. So it gives them a little cover to say, hey, we're for this if everybody plays by the same rules. And if we're going to leave it up to the states...
So he's passing the blame off.
He's passing the blame off to the state legislatures. And in my opinion, now...
That's what he does best. And now, athletic administrators passing the blame off. Never heard this before.
It's shocking, right?
But... That's the lazy. That's once again the laziest thing. You're the commissioner of the NCAA. You make the rules, right? You guys are the governing body. You make the rules. So if you're for it, then implement it. Then that's what these states are trying to do. They're trying to get you to do something, and you're not seeing it. You're not understanding what the intent of this, you're just digging your heels in and trying to protect this outdated way of doing business. And your hypocrisy is out there for everyone to see. That's never going to change. So by all means, sit back, do nothing, let the states get involved, let the federal government get involved, let everybody else get involved except you. The ones that are supposed to be making the rules.
Now, as we mentioned, this is a subject pertinent here in Iowa, because the state house, the legislature right now, is looking at an Iowa version of the bill that we've seen passed in California and other places. It's Senate File 2058, for those of you out there who like tracking anonymous pieces of legislation through the process of a bill becoming a law.
Is that anything like the flight tracker?
There are people out there who are hardcore political nerds who enjoy following this from subcommittee to committee to floor and then to the other side of the chamber. And so it passed unanimously in the Senate subcommittee today without amendment, which means the way that it was written, they didn't make any changes to it, so it goes to the full Senate Education Committee, and from there, the committee will determine whether or not it, let me get this right, if it funnels out of committee to the Senate floor for a vote, and then anything goes to the House. I only studied political science for 5 years at Iowa, and I still don't know how a lot of this stuff operates, so for those of you who are better versed at this than I am, my apologies there, but it's not necessarily a sign that this is going to pass, but it does have bipartisan support from a couple state senators, Brad Zaughn and Nate Bolton, whom I've known for a very long time, and I will resist making any jokes at his expense, but he ran for governor, and you can find out for yourself using Google why he had to back out of the race. Are we going to see this become a thing in, is Megan Gustafson or Spencer Lee or AJ Epinesa, you know, are they going to be able to future Epinesas and Megan Gustafson's? Are they going to be able to shill for a car dealership or for a flooring outfit? Or, I mean,
it's going to happen. The question is how quickly.
Offensive lineman at the University of Memphis, and I love the Bayou Grill.
Oh, it is delicious. By the way,
I don't stalk your timeline. I just know you've talked about the Bayou Grill.
It's phenomenal. But
had a little fire there recently.
Yeah, just a small one. Did you just commit an NCAA violation? I hope Mark Emmert's not listening. You said future Epinesas coming to the University of
Iowa. I know what you mean.
Yes.
There
is a future
Epinesa. Trying to get me in trouble. I'm speaking in the broadest of terms here.
Okay.
I know there's so many people are worried about this being, and you know, Alabama has more money than Iowa, and so if Alabama came to a recruit and said, we can guarantee you X number of endorsement dollars, it's a very sticky situation. And I don't think there's a perfect answer, and that's why Mark Emmert is being the coward that he is, because he knows that there's no way that 50 states are going to agree to administer this type of legislation in the exact same way. Some states are going to be more liberal on interpretations of what can and cannot be allowed, and some are going to err on the side of caution here with what players will be allowed to make. And if you can't come to an agreement, then Mark Emmert sits back and smiles and says, well, hey, we tried. We said if we were going to support this, we would support it if everybody was on the same page. And it's your fault for not being on the same page, not ours. Simple as that.
I just have this suspicion that he's just sort of kicking this can down the road till everything sort of blows up in his face. He's going to try to keep this going as long as possible and not actually do anything about it, but now he has pressure. Now they have to do something if the federal government does get involved. Because I think that if this becomes sort of a federal bill where there's some kind of there's some kind of commonality between the states and what is allowed, then that's the way that the NCAA kind of gets. That's the way they have to act. That's a situation where they would have to act, better said. But if all these different states are making different rules, that's exactly what he's going to do. He's like, well, there's a bunch of different rules. We can't. We all got to play by the same rules. We here at the NCAA do not allow this. So what we say goes.
If you put Rob Manfred in charge of the NCAA tomorrow and Mark Emmert in charge of Major League Baseball, which organization would be in worse shape than its current leadership? 319-366-1600. You can weigh in on the First Federal Credit Union text line. We got a high school basketball broadcast coming up. I don't know what's going on the other side of the glass with Buttons. He is the calming influence around here. He's going to be pushing all of the right buttons. See what I did there. We need to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll let you know what's in store for a Wednesday edition, not only of this program, but local programming, which returns tomorrow with Scott and Mark at 3 o'clock. Back after this.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard.
No matter what kind of entertainment you're in the mood for, sports talk or smart rock, you are covered with KGYM and Smart FM, a walk-off home run at the plate, or walk of life from dire straits, a long run from scrimmage, or the long run from the Eagles. Tune in anytime to satisfy your craving for infotainment. KGYM, 1600 AM, 106.3 in Iowa City, and now on 102.3 in Cedar Rapids. And Smart FM, 95.1 in Cedar Rapids and 98.5 Iowa City.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Hey guys, Mike Golic here. Athletes are still athletes when they're off the field. That's why they still need to make good choices, like staying hydrated with Bolt 24. With antioxidant vitamins A and C, electrolytes from watermelon and sea salt, and no artificial sweeteners or flavors. Bolt 24 is all-day hydration for all-day athletes. It's available in delicious flavors like watermelon, strawberry, tropical mango, and mixed berry, and can be found in the sports drink aisle at most major retailers. Bolt 24, all-day hydration.
Take a great exploration vehicle, add available intelligent adaptive cruise control with stop-and-go, lane centering, and speed sign recognition. And available intelligent four-wheel drive with terrain management system and selectable drive modes. And some more highly advanced features for doing highly advanced stuff. Then you have the 2020 Ford Explorer, completely redesigned with more technology than ever. It's the greatest exploration vehicle of all time.
Driver assist features are supplemental and do not replace the driver's attention, judgment, need to control the vehicle.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? So you ordered some wipers online with our free same-day store pickup? No problem. We'll grab those for you so you can get back on the road. You know, we also offer free next-day delivery. You just order what you need on AutoZone.com by 10 p.m. and we deliver it to your front door the next day. It's perfect for those projects that can wait until tomorrow. Getting your job done just got easier. Free next-day delivery on eligible items on orders over $35. Restrictions and details at AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Quarterback Patrick Mahomes for Helzberg Diamonds.
Okay, the clock's ticking and you still need a gift, but you're not sure where to start. Believe me, I've been there. So here's the game plan. Get to Helzberg Diamonds, where they have stunning jewelry at great prices and all the no-pressure advice you need to bring home a W. You've got this. Now get out there and win Valentine's Day.
Gift a half-carat total weight diamond heart pendant in your choice of white, yellow, or rose gold for just $299.99, a savings of $400. Valentine's Day is Friday, February 14th.
5:53, checking my email. Yes, my pal Boston Bo listening to the program. Surprised that I said I missed Bud Selig. That's what Rob Manfred will do for you. 319-366-1600. Todd at KGYMradio.com if you really want to get personal with me via email. We have wrapped up things here tonight for the most part. High school basketball is underway. Run down those games again tonight. I know you've got them on the big board in front of you.
So right now on 106.3 FM, we have a doubleheader. West Branch is visiting Regina. We're going to start with the girls game that should be underway here momentarily. And at 7:20 on 1600, 107.5 and 102.3 FM, Cedar Rapids Kennedy travels to take on Cedar Rapids Xavier.
All right. So we are high school across the board for you tonight here at KGYM. Local programming. We'll pick up again tomorrow with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the gym class. They had Mitch Holdhouse, the voice of the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, on the program today, along with KJ Pilcher of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. If you missed that program, you can always download the podcast or listen to it at your leisure at kgymradio.com. Tomorrow, Scott and Mark will continue talking wrestling with Mark Ironside as the Hawkeyes are grappling for an outright Big Ten title this weekend. They, of course, will take your phone calls and texts as well during tomorrow's program. We have a fully loaded show for you as well. The Hawkeyes gearing up to take on Indiana on Thursday in Bloomington. What better time to bring Zach Osterman, the Indy star, back on board with us? We'll also get his thoughts on the emotional return of the general, Robert Montgomery Knight, to Assembly Hall this past weekend. And Gary Rima, play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers. UNI is out there winning games and covering spreads right and left. AJ Green and the Panthers gearing up for a very important stretch run in the Missouri Valley. All that and another opportunity for you to take home a $50 gift card to Culver's Garden Center and Greenhouse. It's coming up for you tomorrow between 4 and 6 here at KGYM. You got big plans tonight?
No, I am just going to look around college basketball. I'm going to watch some of the Big Ten matchups that are going to get underway and see whether or not Michigan State falls out of the Big Ten race. Can Illinois put Michigan State away on February 11th?
The Illini are a 2-point underdog at home tonight. Yes, an underdog to Michigan State.
We're telling you this now. The Illini are underdogs at home against a team that's lost three games in a row.
You either smell a rat there or you smell money to be made, depending on which way your spidey sense tingles. Penn State is a 5-point underdog at Purdue. I think Penn State can win that game outright. Something Purdue is not a very good team, and they're coming off an emotional road win over Indiana this weekend. I think it's a great spot for Penn State tonight. And oh, by the way, Nebraska is also in action this evening. They are now, the line has moved, an 18-point underdog at Maryland. Johnny Holiday, fire up the crab cakes, whatever his version of chips and salsa is with Mac McCausland. I think you can pretty much get out the Old Bay seasoning tonight before that one even gets underway. Nebraska, by the way, among the schools that are reportedly reaching out to Kobe King, the Wisconsin soon-to-be transfer. Wouldn't it be something if Fred Hoiberg decided to take a transfer? I mean, he doesn't often think of doing that, right? Be fun to see him remain in the Big Ten. Probably not too much fun to see him at Nebraska if you're Wisconsin or if you're Iowa. We will reconvene tomorrow, local programming right here on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio with the Gym Class at 3 o'clock.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips